Let's turn in God's Word now to Matthew's Gospel. Matthew's Gospel in chapter 5. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 5. We'll be reading verses 14 through 16 of Matthew 5. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 5, verse 14, reading through verse 16. These are God's words, so give your attention to the Lord who speaks. Ye are the lights of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. And it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works, and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. Those are God's words. Well, let's pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we give you praise for your word. How gracious and merciful you have been to us, that you have spoken to us and have not, like you have in times past, even unto churches, removed your word from us. You have not done that. And that alone is your mercy and grace unto us. And so now, as we have heard your word read, we ask that you would bless the preaching of your word to our hearts. Give us ears to hear and eyes to see Jesus Christ, your Son. That we would behold Him, the Lord and Savior of all. Grant us your blessing now, and humble us, as we pray also that you would humble the mouthpiece of your servant. Grant your Spirit to be poured out mightily, that you would then cause a great revival throughout this land, starting here in the middle of this great city. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Matthew chapter 5, verse 14 through 16. Right before this passage, we have the Beatitudes at the beginning of Jesus' Sermon on the Mountain. But where we are here in Matthew's Gospel, right after that, Jesus is preaching about, as he was doing there, he's preaching about his kingdom. As he is the king, he's preaching about his kingdom. John the Baptist, right before this chapter, in the chapter 3 even, John the Baptist was preaching. And then Jesus himself came and began preaching. Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And he's come to his disciples and called out to them. And today he calls out to you, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And it's here that Jesus is preaching and instructing, calling the disciples. The disciples are those who are taught. The disciples calling them to follow him. All you who have gathered this evening here, Jesus calls out to you. Follow me. Come unto me and follow me. Turn to Christ today and you shall be saved from your sins. And free, set free, as we just read in John's Gospel. Set free in Christ from slavery to sin and Satan. True freedom is found in Christ alone in following him. Why? Because the kingdom of God has come. And it has come in Jesus Christ, the King. And now he reigns on that forever throne of his forever kingdom as the forever king. And yet the kingdom's power and influence is very much manifested visibly so that we can see it with our eyes today here on the earth. We can see it, but the kingdom of Jesus Christ is visible in the least expected way. The world can see the kingdom in the poor in spirit and the Beatitudes, right? Those who mourn over their sins. They can see it in the meek. They can see it in those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. They can see it in those who are merciful and pure in heart and seek after peace. And they can even see it in those who are persecuted, the persecuted followers of Jesus Christ. What they see are citizens of Christ's kingdom following him. They can see it in those who receive the Lord's blessing. The world, we must consider though, from the very beginning, the world is set at enmity with Christ. Therefore, they're hostile to us in the church, to Christ. And we know that from Genesis 3. Do not be unaware or ignorant of that fact. There is a hostility outside the church towards those who are inside the church. Those who are in Christ are being attacked. There is hostility and enmity between us and those of the world. The true church is too different from the world because of Christ for the world to tolerate it. And so the world acts like a big bully, trying to bully us around them. Because to the world, the church, the bride of Christ, the citizens of the kingdom of Jesus Christ, to the world, we are a threat to their livelihood. We are a threat to them, to their ways and their customs and their pleasures. So what they want to do, they seek in various ways to destroy Christ's kingdom and its citizens. But the glorious truth is that Christ's kingdom conquers all. And we are more than conquerors through him who has eternally loved us, right? Romans 8. And so now how do we know, or how do we then live as citizens of the kingdom of Jesus Christ in this world that is at enmity and hostility towards us? Jesus gave the first word picture in verse 13 to describe how you are to live in this world, Christians, and as followers of King Jesus, you are to be the salt of the earth. But now in our passage, verse 14, he gives another word picture communicating how you ought to live, how you ought to, as Christians, to be in this world, in his kingdom. So the main point we're considering, there's only one point this evening, you are the light of the world. If you're a Christian and you know that you, in the very depths of your soul, you are a sinner in need of a Savior, and you turn to that Savior, Jesus Christ, and you believe on his name alone for your salvation, then you are called here the light of the world. Verse 14, again it says, ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. And most of us know what it says here, that we Christians are the light of the world, but also know that we are not light of the world of ourselves. There is no inherent light pouring forth from us. There is another of whom it is said, we just read in John 8, then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Jesus himself is the light of the world. Friends, consider also Matthew 4. The people which sat in darkness saw a great light. And to them which sat in the region and shadow of death, light is sprung up. From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Those who turn to Christ, repenting of their sins, that is, turning from their sins unto Christ by faith, they are, those who do that, are in union, one with Christ Jesus. One with Christ. Praise the Lord, Christians. Let's consider that for a moment. In coming to Christ, it is not a resting on the ordinances. It's not a resting in, well, I go to church. It's not a resting in, well, I read my Bible and I pray. It's a resting in Christ alone. Each of you here this evening are to come with your whole soul and rest upon Christ. Be warned not to rest part of your soul in Christ, and park the other part of your soul on something else. That's like putting weight. You're walking across one of those wooden bridges, and you put all your weight on this very strong, sturdy looking board on that bridge. And there's a great pit underneath. And there's also this other board that's rotten. We don't know it. It looks good. It's been painted, trying to cover up the rottenness. It looks strong. And if you put some of your weight on the strong board and the rest of your weight on the rotten board, thinking, well, I have a backup just in case the strong one will break. What inevitably happens is that the one board fails. And we do that, right? We're not held up anymore. And we go down and we fall through. We go down to the pit and perish. Now, you must put all of your weight on Christ. You must be satisfied in Christ alone with all of your soul. Today, you are to turn your hearts to the all-sufficient one to carry you home. And home for the Christian is in glory with him forever. Christ is calling you. Come unto me. Consider, friends, that Christ has done even this very day, this afternoon. He has come to you. You're here. And he has come to you. He's speaking to you. Even now, Christ has come from the bosom of God the Father. Christ willing to have, as we look back in time when he came to the earth, Christ willing to have his glory eclipsed, to come into the world, this world, in a form of a servant and undergo life in this on this earth as God, the God-man, God and man, came to you, came to me. And so consider it, friends, that he has come, as it says in the Song of Solomon, he's come leaping over the mountains. He comes leaping over all difficulties to you. To you. If you think that there are some difficulties in your coming to Jesus Christ, know that there are far greater difficulties that lay in the way of his coming to you. But whatever was in the way for him, his holiness, his justice, your sins, he's resolved to go through them all to come to you. Even death on a cross to come to you, Christian. And he did come. And he has come. That he might save you from your sins. And so he comes now and he calls you to come to him. So come! It's not difficult for you. It was difficult for him. And so come. You must come today. Do not reject the free offer of mercy and grace that is offered to you today. It is coming to you again freely. There's nothing you need to do in your works to come unto Christ. Just believe. Believe on him by faith alone. That there will be no boasting in you, but only a boasting in Christ, his Son. Is it not even to you a mercy that you're not in hell today, under the great judgments of God? He's given you the privilege of not licking the dust today. And will you continue in your sins? Mercy and grace is what you need, and that alone is found in Jesus Christ. Christ calls, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Your souls must answer today. Lord, I come. They must answer that today. Lord, I do come. And if you do come to Christ alone for your salvation, then he says here, ye are the light of the world. Why? Because Jesus is the light of the world. And as a result of our coming unto Christ by faith, we have peace with God, as we heard this morning for some of you. We too have become then in union with Him, one with Him. You have become light in the Lord. And are thus to live as children of the light, having nothing to do anymore with the deeds of darkness, with the deeds of sin. Put them off. If you're in Christ, we are to flee from the darkness. And that means running to Christ every day. Putting off the deeds of the flesh, our lusts of the flesh, our pleasures, our worldly desires. Ephesians 5, it says, "For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them." For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, "Awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light." There is, friends, in being Christians and being the light of the world, a transformation that has and continues to take place in each one who has come in faith to Jesus Christ. It's called sanctification. We're continuing cleansed of our sin, continuing to mortify or put to death our sins, and live as we put on righteousness, living in Christ, clothed with His righteousness. And this sanctification, this cleansing of our sin, is gradual, it's progressive over time. "Now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." He comes again, he calls you again. Walk as children of light. Christian, you've been saved. Having been enlightened by the Word and the Holy Spirit, you have received the gospel with joy, came unto Christ from your sins to save you, as the Holy Spirit was poured out, gave you new desires to seek after Him, which you could never do before. And now He's calling you, keep turning from your sins. Keep turning unto Me. Keep turning from the darkness and keep turning to the light that is found in Him. And this means first you must grow in your knowledge. Study the Scripture. Study the doctrines, teachings that are alone found in the Word of God. He says, "Follow Me." Just follow Me. You're to be My disciples. Follow Me. Follow Me in My ways. Follow Me and listen to My Word. So if you're not studying the Scriptures, you're not walking in the light. In studying the Scriptures, gaining knowledge in Christ, you are to grow in wisdom. Proverbs chapter 4. Grow in wisdom. Grow in godly living. Jesus Christ is wisdom. Go to Him. Keep going to Him. You must be holy as Christ is holy. Keep pursuing holiness. How do we do that? How do we keep pursuing personal piety? How do we do that? Keep going to Jesus Christ. He is perfectly holy. And in this, as you keep going to Him and cry out to Him in prayer, pleading, "Lord, make me to know Your ways. Give me understanding," like Solomon prayed. "Grant me wisdom." You're going to see fruit in your lives that comes by the Spirit's working in you. That you would walk according to God's commandments. In Christ's kingdom, He has laws, right? Every kingdom has laws, every nation. In His kingdom, He has laws, and we must obey those laws as citizens of His kingdom, and we can and will do that by His grace alone. But notice how Paul, reading in Ephesians 5, notice how Paul describes in Ephesians 5 what your life should be like. Again, he says, "Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them." There's a turning from the world, have no fellowship with the world, have no communion with the unfruitful works of darkness. The works of darkness are all those things you engaged in before turning to Christ. All those things that have nothing to do with Christ, but your own pleasures and your lusts. Those things of the world that are wicked and sinful, what are they? Do you remember them, Christian? Some of you are still engaging in them. All of us are still engaging in them. Breaking God's commandments daily when you've been instructed many times that these things are blasphemous to the Lord. They cause you to turn from Him away, turning your face away from the Savior who saved you. Some form of adultery against the word, against the Lord God, from the Word of God, even turning to various abominations and sins. Some of you are still putting some weight of your life on Christ, and some also at the same time those works of darkness in the world. What are those things that you're putting weight upon the darkness of this world when you should be only putting all of your weight on Christ? You know what Jesus says in the next chapter? Chapter 6, verse 22. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Put off the unfruitful works of darkness. You can't serve two masters. You have one or the other. You have to choose. And it must be Jesus Christ. Put on the righteousness of Jesus Christ and walk as children of light. You know, every time we walk in darkness, you walk in darkness when you should be walking in the light, you're breaking verses 14 through 16. You are blaspheming against the Holy Spirit. You are committing great evils against Him by resisting Him, by quenching the Spirit. When the Spirit is leading you, and you're like, nope, I like darkness. You're quenching Him. Not submitting to Him, therefore you're blaspheming Him. Every time you bring shame on the name of Christ, every time you take lightly Christ dying on the cross for suffering for you, dying for you, that should bring shame to you. But Christ calls you today also to come to Him. If you're like that, He's calling you today again to come to Him. Come to Him for your life. And find that light alone is found in Jesus Christ. And He will receive you back again. Because He's what? He's abounding in covenant mercy and steadfast love. Right, so come again to Christ from your sin, from the darkness. And walk as children of light, enjoying not the works of darkness, but exposing the works of darkness by the light. Expose those deeds of darkness by the light. Why? Because you are light of the world. What does light do? It exposes darkness. It exposes what's in the darkness. And Christ gives us two more word pictures. The first is in verse 14. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Why? Because it stands prominently above all on the hill. Can be seen for miles around. That's light. You see, when you're in a dark room, kids, when you're in a dark room at night, maybe you don't have a night light, or you go into a room that doesn't have a light at all, close the door. Better understanding if you live in a rural area on a foggy night, maybe it might help you here. Very cloudy, foggy night. There are no lights around. It's completely dark. You can't see your hand this close to your face. The same as it is in a completely dark room in your house. Where would you rather be? Where there is complete darkness like that? Or where there is at least a little light? Just a little light so you can see what's around you. You want a little light, right? So you can see, you can walk, and you know you're not going to stumble or fall. You want a little bit of light, at least. Well, that's what it is in coming to Christ, except for it's not a little light. He shines brightly in the dark room and it becomes bright. So you can see everything for what it is. That's what we're called to be to the world. The world all around us is engulfed in total darkness. In their sins, they're dead. Ephesians 2, they're dead in their trespasses and sins, and there is only one hope for them, and that is in the light coming and showing the brightness of the glory of Jesus Christ to them. That they would see the blinding holiness and glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And in union with Christ, Christians, you are to take Christ to the world, to the nations, to the darkness, and reveal what is real. Reveal what's there. Reveal what's happening. Reveal their soul to them. Reveal their actions to them. Reveal their sins to them. And only Christ does that. Reveal all the wickedness, even their own death, that they are dead. Men, women, and children. Dead bones all around. And yet, what is true of them? They don't know they're dead. They don't know their bones that need to be raised up. The Christian is to be like a city set on a hill that cannot be hid. And all who see the Christian, the citizen of Christ's kingdom, will see the light of life. John 8 again says, Jesus said again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Christian, there is life in you in union with Jesus Christ. And life is what is needed for those who are dead, who are in the darkness and the deeds of their flesh, like looking from all nations to Jerusalem, which is set forth the truth, a city that's set on a hill. We heard this morning in Isaiah from some of us, which was a light to the nations. The church is the same thing, a light to the nations. Now it is, friends, that the church is that city set on a hill. Christ is the head of that church. The church. Our church. His church. And he reigns and rules. And we know, as we heard this morning, that those nations will come to him. And so we have hope in our being light to the world. We have confidence to go forth and evangelize and be those witnesses to a dying people who are already dead. The church then, this congregation, Lord willing, one day will be a church plant and become a congregation. Our prayer, of course, is that all around the mid-cities area, the Dallas Metroplex, people would become more and more aware and know that we are light amidst the darkness. And they would see the light of the world, Jesus Christ. Not us, but they would see Christ in us, working. That Christian in your homes, your neighbors would know that you are light on a hill. And you can't be hid. And you must shine forth, friends. And so how are you to be a light? In your life, your actions, we have already spoken about, so too in your message, the message of the gospel of life. Philippians 2, do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth, what do we hold forth? Holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I may not run in vain, neither labor in vain. Shine as lights in the world, not lights in the church. You should be following Christ here as well. But you are, he calls you and he commands you, shine as lights to the world. That means you can't just come here and worship and go home and stay in your home. and be by yourself. You have to go out and tell people the good news of Jesus Christ and be light to them. Hold forth the gospel. The message of the good news of Jesus Christ, that he came into the world, he died for the sins of all who would come to him by faith. He comes out to the world, "Come unto me," as we already read. "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly of heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Take that message to the world, to the darkness, and shine that light of Christ into the darkness, right? And what will happen? Not what won't happen, but what will happen if you carry the light of the gospel in the dark into the darkness. 1 Peter 2, it says, "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." What will happen is that Jesus will so shine forth if you take the message of the gospel, the light of the world to the world, and just as he did with you, out of that darkness that you were in, he will call the nations forth as he called you forth. And they will come unto his marvelous light. Praise the Lord. But you are the ones called to take the message. You are the ones called to take the message. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Verse 15, the second illustration that he gives. "Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel," a basket, "put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and give it light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Yes, your good works, your holy living, your piety. It's interesting that there are many Christians today that exalt in what is called lifestyle evangelism. Lifestyle evangelism. They're the ones who are often antinomian, or the ones who just abhor to God's law. They don't follow it. They don't think it's important to be light and shun the darkness in their lives. And they believe, "Well, I believe in Jesus and now I can live however I want because I will be saved." Well, those are the people, ironically, who are often very much in favor of lifestyle evangelism, ironically. But in all actuality, it's practically worked out in two ways for those types of people. First, they live more like the darkness, and so attract people to what? To darkness, instead of showing forth the light of the glory in the face of Jesus Christ, that then those people who they're shining forth to would believe on Christ. No, they shine forth the darkness. And second, it looks like absolutely undeniable laziness and outright rebellion against the king of his kingdom, the Jesus Christ. As you're a citizen, if you aren't going out, and if you're just saying, "Well, I believe in lifestyle evangelism, I will evangelize by how I live alone only," that's called laziness and disobedience to God, to Christ. So put that out of your mind, lifestyle evangelism. Your life should not be hid. You are to live godly lives for Christ Jesus, which includes what? It must include the actual message of the gospel from your mouth. Right? We just read Philippians 2. "Shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life." Psalm 96. "Declare his glory among the heathen, his wonders among all people." Isaiah 2, we read. "And it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow unto it, and many people shall go and say, 'Come ye, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us his ways, and will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem." Friends, you're called to take the message, the gospel, The good news, that which you believed unto salvation, you're to take that message that you are dead in your trespasses and sins, that you are in darkness, and that everyone that you're proclaiming this to and witnessing to, they're in the darkness. The message must be that they must turn to Jesus Christ for their salvation, who is the light. And you are to take the light, not hide it. You take that light, not put it under a basket, a bushel, but light a candle in your home. When the power goes out at night, it lights up the whole house, right? Light, let your light. What light? The light that is in your bowels. The light that is in your soul. The word written on your heart. That is everything about the joy of the salvation that Christ has given to you in the gospel and his word. That he saved you from your sins. And he alone can save the nations from their sins and forgive them and cleanse them and make them righteous in his sight. And so let your light shine before men. Light not being your good works alone, but the light that is in you, your good works, of course, but let the light of the gospel in you shine forth, that men would heed your words. Women would heed your words. Children would heed your words of the good news forth, coming forth from your mouth. And they'll take notice of your works. They will take notice of your works, whether they be light or darkness. Is this a hypocrite or is this not a hypocrite? Is this someone who I can trust or someone who I cannot trust? Has this message changed them? People will ask that in the world. Has this message of the gospel of Jesus Christ affected them? They will look and see. And so let not your life be a stumbling block. And that's why over and over again, when he's talking about being light, he's talking about put off the unfruitful works of darkness. And then as you put off those works of darkness and you put on the light and obeying his commandments and living for him, and then you're proclaiming that. That's why. Because they're going to see your life. And so live holy lives for Christ Jesus as you proclaim the truth. That they would see your life not as a stumbling block, but that which is holy. Something completely different than what they grasp at all. And so let your light, the light of the glory of God in Christ, shine forth out of you. And if you let your life so shine as shining forth or reflecting the light of the glory of Jesus Christ to others, there will be many who will come to Christ and glorify God. We know, he says, no one comes to the Father but by me, by Jesus. So bring them to Jesus. And show them Jesus. Declare his all-sufficiency to cover a multitude of their sins and grant them life forever. Tell them that Jesus alone can grant that to them. Friends, you are the city, Jesus says, that man needs to see in order to see me. That's what Jesus says here. To hear my word, the gospel. Continuing in 1 Peter, listen to his counsel to the church, which is to you. Dear friends, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. Having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works which they shall behold glorify God in the day of visitation. Those of the world who often are called, who call you evildoers or mock you, and some of us were mocked yesterday, evangelizing. A response to their attacks and their persecutions with a clean, just, righteous, good conversation that exalts in Christ may not stop their mouths, but may possibly even be a means to bring them to a great humility before Christ the King, even magistrates. He will do so. We learned that, we heard that today in Isaiah. He will humble the mockers. And maybe that will be even unto salvation, their salvation. Some will glorify the Lord. And those who do will show mercy on the, be shown mercy on the last day. Even those who once blasphemed the name of the Lord. Because in their hearing the gospel message, they did not return attacks. We didn't return attacks. We shouldn't do that. We're convicted. They were convicted in coming to Christ that they would be saved. And they came. Vindicate yourselves by your good works in Christ, friends. And give the enemy no place to honestly and truthfully attack you. So God's people, you are the light of the world. John 1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. And one time the message of the gospel came by types and shadows, and still darkness did not comprehend it. And in God's plan, He sent His Son into the world. The Lord Jesus came into the world and was made flesh, dwelt among us, full of grace and truth. And now He sends you to that same world to be light of the world in union with Him. Take that message. Take the good news that has come in the flesh. Jesus Christ has come in the flesh, and He calls to each sinner, as you are to call for, to each sinner, to come unto the Lord Jesus, to come to Him to be saved from their sin, to come out of that darkness into a marvelous light that is life in Christ alone. And so you're commissioned to take the message, to live godly lives for Christ Jesus, and call sinners to repentance. Again, He says, follow Me and I will make you fishers of men. And that requires of you godly lives for Christ Jesus. Walking in the light, not in the darkness. With the message of the light, the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ on your lips, that many would hear, having been called to come unto Christ, that they would come and pray for them, that they would come and believe unto salvation forever. And how can we do any of that? Not of ourselves. How can we be godly witnesses? I know some of you are like me. I'm an introvert. I don't like talking to people very often. Especially out in the crowd of people I don't know. Some of you are like that. But it's not about me. It's not about you. It's about the Lord and His gospel that will be successful. And with that confidence, you can take that and go proclaim it. The truth of Jesus Christ. And how can we do that? It is only by the Holy Spirit working in our hearts, working in our lives. By His grace can we actually go forth and proclaim the good news. So you're called to do it. You're called to do it. And you're saying, well, how can I do it? I just can't. It's too uncomfortable. Pray. Pray and call out to Him. Lord, give me the strength. Lord, give me the courage. Lord, give me the boldness. Lord, give me the zeal for the gospel and the good news, that I would be Your mouthpiece. Just like your pastor prays every Lord's Day. Lord, I would be Your mouthpiece, and You would send forth Your word from my lips, and You would sanctify my life, my heart, my soul, and turn me unto You. But maybe today you're not a Christian. This whole sermon, basically, it's all for the citizens of the kingdom of Jesus Christ. It's for Christians. But maybe you're saying, well, I'm not a Christian. I don't believe. Well, then He calls you to come unto Him. You're a sinner, just like I am. Come unto Him. He can save you from your sins. What does sin lead to? He says the wages of sin is death. The wages of sin is death, and yet He offers you the free gift of life in Him. Come unto Him and believe unto salvation. Your only hope, if there is to be any hope in this world, your only hope is in coming to Him who has freely offered Himself to you to save you. Repent. He alone can save you. He alone the all-righteous, the all-sufficient one who can cover all of your sins and atone, that is, die for all of your sins, if you would come unto him today. As he has died on the cross, he calls you, repent. He says, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel of Jesus Christ. Or sadly, if you refuse to come unto him and believe in faith upon him and bow the knee to him and submit to him who is the King, you will remain in your sins. And you don't want that. Because judgment is promised to those who remain in their sins. Death forever. You want to be in the light. Don't you want to see clearly? Not be in darkness, stumbling around, having no idea what's happening or going on in reality. No, you want the light so you can see. So come on to the light. There's only one light, and that is Jesus Christ. He's the light of the world. So come unto him and have life. Let's stand and we'll pray together. Our gracious God, how merciful and marvelous you are. And all your wonders and your grace in Christ your Son, to so die for our sins on the cursed tree of Calvary, on the cross, that though we are completely undeserving, you and your eternal plan promised and did come and did live in the miseries of this life, and even going to the cursed death of the cross, and suffering many things, and then being buried. But how great you are. How majestic a king you are, for you're a king who has risen from the dead. And we're thankful that now you're seated on the throne, which gives your people confidence to go forth and tell the good news of Jesus Christ to the nations, to the world who's in darkness, and to shine as lights, like a city on a hill you can see from miles around. Let us be so shining forth. And Father, we plead for those who are still in their sins here this evening, that you would turn them to your Son, Jesus Christ alone, from their sins. And that they would grasp with their soul that they can offer you nothing. Nothing that you would save them. But rather you offer them, Jesus Christ, your Son. Father, we pray that you would grant faith today. And the changing and making alive of hearts of many. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.